BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got a lot to unpack today as shot mandates are traveling at lightning speed across the country. And it's happening on so many fronts. I mean, with promise of an executive order, President Biden is utilizing OSHA to order companies with 100 or more employees to receive the jab. Already the president has given that order for hospitals that receive Medicaid or funding or Medicare funding. Recently, there was a Florida mother that was shocked when she learned that to renew her lease at her apartment complex, she'd have to show proof of vaccination. We also know about the matter for federal employees and contractors. The mandate's gone out to the military. Reported that as many as a quarter of all active duty Navy SEALs do not want the jab, and as such could put our military readiness in jeopardy. Hundreds of employees of a North Carolina hospital system have been suspended who are refusing the jab. Meanwhile, the death toll and severe injury toll is escalating from those who have received the shot. Booster shots are now gaining approval for those 65 or older or considered high risk. And now Pfizer saying that their COVID-19 vaccine is, quote, safe and effective for children ages 5 to 11 at one-third the dose. Well, here to address these issues and more, we welcome back Barbara Lowe Fisher, president of the National Vaccine Information Center, a nonprofit charity she co-founded with parents of DPT vaccine-injured children in 1982. They're a national grassroots movement and public information campaign to institute vaccine safety reforms and inform consent protections in the public health system. She's researched, analyzed, publicly articulated the major issues involved in the science, policy, law, ethics, and policies of, or politics, that is, of vaccination to become one of the world's leading non-medical consumer advocacy experts on the subject. Barbara, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for having me back. You certainly did an excellent overview of the situation in this country. The move toward authoritarianism in America is shocking. It is being driven by the federal government in the partnership with the pharmaceutical companies. They do have a public-private business partnership and have for several decades, but that partnership is now really playing out real time. And unfortunately, I think that still a lot of people in this country do not see clearly what is happening. This push to continue to have everyone live in fear of a virus that still has a less than 1% mortality rate is really, to me, interesting how so many people have not challenged the narrative when the facts before them do not, the response that has been initiated by government does not match the threat.
Has the official executive order from President Biden on businesses with more than 100 employees gone out yet? Because I ask because the words hardly came out of his mouth and all kinds of employers started issuing this mandate on their employees.
Well, you know, private companies can do, corporations can make their own rules. I think that probably people are surprised. I have not seen anything on paper. I've seen certainly his statement that he made at a press conference. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a little while for this to actually administratively roll out, but I think that the corporations are simply taking the statement that that Biden made and going ahead and putting it into their policies. Again, in most states, there is a great latitude for employers and corporations to make their own rules for hiring and firing.
Barbara, what's
now
that
when it comes to state agencies, yeah, it's different. For example, in the states of Texas and Florida and several other states, there has been legislation passed this year by legislatures which really hold the authority under the Constitution that authority was affirmed in 1905 in the Supreme Court case Jacobson versus Massachusetts. The state's legislatures hold the authority to pass public health laws, specifically vaccine laws. The federal government has the constitutional authority to protect the borders from disease, and the territorial and U.S. borders, as well as interstate commerce, crossing state borders, which is something we need to look at closely, because there have been people who have urged Biden to pull the trigger on the Interstate Commerce Authority and not allow planes to cross state borders, people in planes that are not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Or there's a bill in front of Congress, I think it's called the Safe Travel Act, that was introduced about a month ago, that would prohibit people from flying from airport to airport or getting on an Amtrak train and, you know, going from point to point without showing proof of vaccination. Now, with all of these sort of private companies going ahead and on their own mandating the vaccine, as a condition of employment, we have unions that are pushing back. There are large unions. There was a huge demonstration in New York City of thousands of teachers who marched over the Brooklyn Bridge about a week ago, and they were protesting the vaccine mandate in New York City for teachers and staff. There are healthcare unions that have come out in opposition to COVID-19 being vaccine being a condition of employment for healthcare workers. There is pushback by unions, by governors in states, by state legislatures that are refusing to pass laws mandating a COVID-19 vaccination or a vaccine passport, which is something that is globally being pushed. And if you look at the big protests that have happened this summer, where hundreds of thousands of people marched in London and Paris and Berlin, Rome, Athens, you see that the people do not want the vaccine passport. And in fact, Boris Johnson in England in the last few weeks has stated that they will not be mandating the COVID-19 vaccine. They will be strongly urging the people to get it, but they will not have a vaccine passport as a condition of entering a store or a gym or a sports arena, whatever. So that is the first country that has departed from this more or less unified stand by Western European countries in Australia, New Zealand, and what it looks like the United States. I thought the United States would be the last country that would really move down this road, but the current administration is really moving toward an authoritarian approach. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that we're in a little bit of danger here.
Yeah, and folks, let me just give you a heads up. Lord willing, on Monday, we're going to be delving more into what's going on in Australia and even the call for this new world order. Some have used the term the Great Reset, but this is coming from governments and the mouths of government officials. Barbara, I'd like to examine what is happening to our health care. I mean, I see there's a hospital in Texas that's talking about we may have to shut down due to the large number of employees that refuse the shot. Another hospital in New York is talking about having to shut down their maternity wing because of it's not sufficient employees that will take the shot. There's a number of doctors that I'd just soon retire rather than put that into my arm. What's happening to our health care? Do we have concerns overall as to the numbers of those who have said, I don't want this going into my body?
Yeah, you know, all the polls show that about 30 to 40%, and I would argue it's coming up on 50% of the people in this country are either extremely concerned or are not going to get the vaccine. And I watch closely the percentage of vaccinated Americans, and a good site is Worldometer that gives you information on a daily basis about how high the vaccination rates are for one and or two doses, which is fully vaccinated, because most people are using the mRNA, Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. They have not, in this country, have not been able to move that needle past 54% for people who are fully vaccinated, and I think it's about 60-some-3%, 4% of people who have gotten at least one shot. They have not moved it because the people at this point who do not want the shot or who are waiting longer to get the shot, it is pretty much solidified. And I think that's why you're seeing this authoritarian push by the federal government, by at least this current administration, to do things like, say, in the last 72 hours, I think Biden has said that in the military, anyone who declines the vaccine will be dishonorably discharged. This is a shocking, really a shocking suggestion. I know about a month ago when the Department of Defense moved to make the vaccine mandatory, there were about 800,000, I think was the number of military personnel, active duty, who had not gotten the shot. There could be a serious repercussions in our military for people who just leave, even under dishonorable discharge. There are shortages being reported of nurses across the country. I have not read about doctors, but I wouldn't be surprised, that are leaving the profession. I'd say, oh, well, they're leaving the profession because they're burnt out. Well, no, there have been protests all over this country of healthcare workers who do not want to be forced. And they're standing on principle. They're giving up careers, 10, 20, 30-year careers, because they're defending the ethical principle of informed consent to medical risk-taking, which is an overarching ethical principle that it has buttressed or underpinned the ethical principle of, I mean, the ethical practice of medicine since World War II. Informed consent means you have the human right to be fully informed about any risk that is associated with a medical intervention or a pharmaceutical product, and are able to make an informed and voluntary decision without being coerced or threatened or in any way harassed and pressured for the decision that you make. That certainly is the situation that's going on with forced vaccination in this country, where your people are being threatened. Their lives are being destroyed, really. Their careers are being destroyed. They're being prevented from going into stores, and then their quality of their life is being greatly diminished. This isn't America. This isn't what we ever have stood for. And so I salute those medical professionals who are standing up for informed consent, because I think they know that the next order they're going to be asked to obey is to deny medical care to unvaccinated people. There already have been calls by celebrities who are saying that the people who are unvaccinated and die of COVID deserved it. They deserve to die. They should not be admitted to a hospital.
I'm seeing people who have been on a registry for receiving an organ donation have been removed for not being fully vaccinated.
Yes, this is a very inhumane, cruel, ugly development in our country, where citizens are being pitted against citizens. We're talking segregation, discrimination, persecution. This is not the way that the United States of America has behaved. I mean, people have behaved in America. And it's a lot about, in my opinion, a lot about propaganda, about psychological manipulation of the people to remain in a state of fear, to try to scapegoat other people for the situation, which is intolerable. But really, it is about failure of government to respond appropriately to a public health, an outbreak of disease. And I think we need to remember that all of the evidence that's coming in is showing that this virus was a man-made virus. It was made in a lab by scientists in China with U.S. funding. That is what the majority of the evidence that is coming forward is showing.
Folks, we've got to take a break here. Barbara Lou Fisher with us from the National Vaccine Information Center. After the break, what about those adverse effects? Are they being reported? What's the stats? Back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about those huge flying reptiles?
Chris, some of the flying reptiles were as large as a mid-size aircraft. Some people have wondered how in the world they could have ever flown. As it turns out, they really couldn't fly in today's atmosphere. There's not enough air pressure to keep them up. Creationists have long supposed that the environment before the flood was quite different than now. We suspect that air pressure was quite a bit higher than now, making it more reasonable that these huge creatures could fly. Recently, an engineer built a model of one of these flying reptiles and tried to make it fly. He found that it had many wonderful adaptations to increase the flying ability, but there still wasn't enough air pressure to keep it aloft. To evolutionists, it's a big mystery, but to creationists, we at least have a plausible theory. And we get that by going back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
We'll be right back.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Barbara Lo Fisher, president of the National Vaccine Information Center. We're talking about COVID shot mandates, boosters, and adverse effects. Barbara, let's hit this adverse effects issue and adverse effects reporting. I ask what's going on here because I keep hearing the words safe and effective. I mean, one news story I heard yesterday referred to the few breakthrough cases that are taking place. What is the truth about adverse effects from those who have received the COVID shot?
Well, you know, the National Vaccine Information Center has been following the reports of vaccine adverse events to the vaccine adverse event reporting system that is operated by the federal government. We were the parents that got into the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, the VAERS system that was a centralized reporting system that doctors were mandated to report to, but there was no penalty put in for not reporting. So unfortunately, less than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported to that system. Still, it's at least a picture of what's happening out there. There have been about 1.5 million adverse events reported to the VAERS system since it was launched in 1990 for all vaccines. About 1.5 million events. On this vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, there have been almost 750,000 adverse events reported and about 15,000 deaths. Now remember, there's underreporting.
And this is less than a year.
Excuse me?
And this is less than a year since the COVID shots were available.
Yes, these vaccines were licensed. They were given an emergency use authorization in December of 2020. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines because they have market share in this country. Okay, so what does that say? It is a reporting system that's open to doctors. It's open to patients who suffer reactions. They can report. The government dedupes. In other words, there's not duplications in there, but it is an open public reporting system. Now, I'm not saying you can't say that every single reaction that's reported, there's a cause and effect because there's not a follow-up. There's no way the government could follow up on every single report, right? But we have to still look and say, you have all vaccines since 1990, 1.5 million. Out of those 1.5 million, 750,000 are COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's something going on here. You know, clearly, this is a very reactive vaccine. And, they were given an emergency use authorization. Johnson & Johnson was given the authorization for their vaccine, which is not an mRNA vaccine. It's an adenovirus vectored vaccine. They were given that in, I think, January or February. They were approved for an emergency use authorization. Now, very recently, Pfizer, which is outstripping Moderna, I think probably Pfizer has market share worldwide, they were given an approval by the FDA. There's a lot of arguments going on because of what looks like a sleight of hand there at the FDA. Was it really licensed fully? Is it kind of just still an EUA vaccine? I mean, it's really complex.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at the legal language. Nevertheless, people are being told that the Pfizer vaccine was officially licensed. So when that happened a couple of weeks ago, the Biden administration used that and said, well, now it's been officially licensed. Now we need to move to everybody who hasn't gotten the vaccine. And we're talking 80 to 100 million Americans that have not gotten a single dose of the vaccine. They're saying it's now licensed. Now we're going to have to put the screws on everybody. We're going to have to really hammer people to do it. You know, if you look at history, whenever governments use force and threats and coercion, I don't care what the policy is, it always backfires. When in the Inquisition, when people were racked, tortured to recant, you know, charged with heresy,
mm-hmm.
they may have recanted under torture, but they didn't in their hearts.
Right.
They still believed.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you try to force people to believe something they don't believe, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It never works.
Barbara, I believe it was Dr. Joseph Mercola, if I recall, who was warning that individuals are not counted as fully vaccinated until 14 days after the second shot. So if someone dies after the first shot or has an adverse reaction or within a few days of the second shot, they're counted as being unvaccinated, not as being vaccinated. Is that really occurring?
That is correct. We also have problems with testing. When people are going into the hospital, to the emergency room, and they test, and people find out they're not vaccinated, it's my understanding that sometimes there's a different standard applied to confirming them as being COVID. And when you're vaccinated, there's another standard being used. So there's a lot of questions about how many people are actually testing positive for COVID. One of the great tragedies here is the protocols that are being used in the hospitals. I'm sure you may have talked with other doctors who have been questioning the automatic venting of so many people. There are many people dying on vents, including young people, rather than oxygen support. There are also protocols where no one is allowed to use any of the alternatives that many doctors say are working and are helping people to get through a bout with COVID without dying, without having major complications. Now, the drugs that are on have been licensed as safe and effective that could have been repurposed for use with COVID have been systematically blocked by the government. And there's a lot of doctors who are protesting this, and I'm not just in this country but around the world, where they've used some of these other drugs and they have successfully helped people get through COVID. It is a mismanagement of a pandemic, and it's sad. And the history will tell the story. All of these truths will come out. What we're right in the thick of it right now, and it's still very confusing. And it's like people are choosing up sides, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if you don't do mm-hmm. what the majority believe should be done, then your life can be destroyed.
I know. Families are at odds with one another. It is amazing to see the strife going on. Let's comment about this booster that was just given the approval for 65 and older, or those vulnerable. I believe the third shot is being directed also at the healthcare workers. Your comments on this?
Well, they had some very open-ended language when that vaccine was approved, the booster dose is approved. For those 65 and older, that's kind of clear-cut. But it was this language that said professions at high risk or something to where the high-risk category, the application of high risk could apply to a lot of people, like the healthcare workers, like teachers, like I don't know who they're going to apply it for,
mm-hmm.
but that loophole really opened it up. And we don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah, because, I mean, some are talking that unless you get that third shot, you will no longer be considered fully vaccinated. And so pressure.
I think that's the fear.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's the fear. Now, they did reject a booster dose for the children 12 years and older because
mm-hmm.
they did say that there wasn't enough information at this time. But as you pointed out at the beginning of your show, they are quickly moving. And I saw one report that it might be as early as late October that they're going to try to give an emergency use authorization for children 5 to 11 years old.
And that's, I'd like to, let's talk further about this because I just saw the headline in the paper. Pfizer is saying their vaccine is, quote, safe and effective for children 5 to 11 at one-third the dose. Government officials saying that they will quickly review the data. And you got Dr. Peter Marks of the FDA saying that authorization is likely to come within a matter of weeks, not months. I'm guessing this is greatly concerning to you.
Well, it is, especially because the FDA Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, which is the advisory committee that I sat on for 4 years as a consumer member between 1999 and 2003, that looks at the scientific data that the companies present and analyzes it and makes it publicly available, they never met before the FDA, quote, licensed the Pfizer vaccine as safe and effective. So all of that information that usually is made available to the public and has a review by the FDA, an official review in a document, that never happened. And, you know, it's, I don't know what kind of data they're going to release when they, quote, give the EUA for these 5 to 11-year-old children.
Hmm.
That needs to really be examined, because under the EUA for Pfizer and Moderna in December of 2020, the standard was this low. They were allowed to prove 50% or more effective efficacy in preventing serious COVID-19 disease. They were not asked to prove that the vaccine prevented infection and transmission of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. They were only asked to prove that it prevented serious complications leading to hospitalizations and death. So a lot of people think that by getting vaccinated, that they're protected. That's not what the science says.
Right.
And in fact, as you pointed out earlier, there are a lot of breakthrough cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are breakthrough, people are being hospitalized and dying who have been fully vaccinated. Now, what I find fascinating is a lot of the people who go into the hospital that are fully vaccinated and have a really hard time making it through, they're saying, oh, it's because I had the vaccine that I survived. How do they know that?
Yeah.
The standard has always been with vaccination that when you get it, you don't get infected and you don't transmit it. We've got transmission by vaccinated people all over this country, sometimes asymptomatically. This is all in the medical literature. In Israel, I think they're up to 4 shots. I know that they had 3 shots, that they still have got circulating COVID and people being hospitalized who have been fully vaccinated. So what is preventing people from engaging in rational thinking? Why are they not taking a step back and looking at the information, not just listening to propaganda, but really looking at the information and coming to the conclusion that there's something not right here?
I see. Also, they're talking about a shot for those under the age of 5, perhaps as early as by the end of this year.
I have not heard that date, but I know they want to go down to 6-month-old babies.
Mm.
Now, we know that the majority of children have very mild disease. Yes, there are some, rarely, who go on to have complications that lead to death. But by and large, for children and for young, healthy people, by and large, 99% of people that are not elderly do not have coinciding poor health conditions like COPD, diabetes, obesity, heart conditions. People who are in poor health are older, are going to have a tough time with this virus. And in fact, you know, when you look at it was a man-made virus, you come up with the question, was it designed to take out all of the elderly?
Yeah.
So that they could be off of the Medicare rolls, so that the countries like China that are struggling with their elderly, you know, population, because they had the policy of aborting, only allowing the families to have one baby, they have a real problem with elderly. They don't have enough young people to take care of all the elderly people.
We got to leave it right there for now. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Is it okay to abort a baby? People give many reasons why abortion is an acceptable choice. The inconvenience of pregnancy. Infant disabilities. It's the woman's body. It's not a baby. This is a result of rape or incest. Incompetence of parents. And she's not ready to be a parent. In the DVD, 7 Reasons, Ray Comfort addresses these 7 questions, reasoning with college students and people on the street about whether such objections are justified. You will see those who are ardently pro-choice change their mind in moments. This powerful 42-minute DVD, 7 Reasons, is available for a donation of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 7 Reasons.
Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Barbara Lowe Fisher. And Barbara is the president of the National Vaccine Information Center. Let me get out their website. It's nvic.org. That's the initials for National Vaccine Information Center, nvic.org. They also have a portal, nvicadvocacy.org, as well, where you can keep abreast of what's going on within your state. And they monitor legislation in states all across the nation, as well as in the federal government itself. Barbara, I was so troubled by the story that came out earlier this week about a teenager that went into the Walgreens for a flu shot, and here's the headline, walked out with a sick surprise. The one I'm looking at here is from Western Journal, commentary there. When Savannah Cordad walked into her local Walgreens only a few days ago, she simply wanted a standard flu shot. After arriving early and filling out the necessary paperwork, a nurse approached Savannah and asked which arm she would like it. Then the nurse made one little comment that immediately took Savannah, told her something had gone terribly wrong. She gave me the shot, she said, and as I was leaving, told me to come back for my second dose in 21 days. She wrote that on Instagram. She hadn't been given the flu shot. It was a COVID-19 vaccine. They gave her the COVID jab instead. They apologized for the mix-up. She said, I quickly rushed to the counter. The lady at the counter reassured me, saying, I definitely received the flu shot. I was probably just given the wrong card. So she talked to the nurse that gave me the shot and confirmed that, no, the card was not wrong. I was given the COVID-19 vaccine instead. But once she did receive it, allegedly against her will, the staff didn't have much to offer in terms of apologies. She said they proceeded to say, sorry, we're super busy. Things like this happen sometimes, and kept repeating, we all make mistakes. She said, I appreciate the fact that they at least apologized, but this is more than just a little mistake. Nurses can't just go around injecting people with the wrong shot. I never gave consent for the COVID-19 vaccine to be injected in my body. Regardless of one's position on this vaccine, I would hope that we can all agree that having something injected into your body should be your choice. How tragic, Barbara.
Well, I agree with that statement. It should be your choice. That's called autonomy, protection of bodily integrity. We give that up at our peril in this country. But that certainly is what the message is these days, and that is that that we must all conform, even if we have good reason to believe that we're at high risk for having a vaccine reaction, which is very tragic. When you have a mother whose child has already reacted severely to vaccines prior, but this is what you're talking about happened at Walgreens is certainly a provider error. And I know that Walgreens is there are people lined up to get the shots, and there are also people lined up to get COVID testing. You know, this idea that pharmacies should be administrators of shots and function as a doctor is pretty risky. The pharmaceutical industry is trying to widen its ability to have many different people give the vaccine, their vaccines. But in a doctor's office, you at least have records. You have more attention to detail. I mean, in some ways, I feel sorry for these pharmacists who have been enlisted to become, you know, nurses and doctors. Yeah. It's not what they went to school to do.
Right, right. I also, you had talked about the becoming a totalitarian state, so to speak, a society, and a very disturbing undercover Project Veritas report. They captured an FDA employee saying that the feds need to create a Nazi Germany-style registry of unvaccinated Americans and go door-to-door and stab everyone. Is this where we're headed as a nation? I mean,
well, we already are there. I mean, I've been following for 25 years the building of electronic vaccine tracking registries. They started out in the early 1990s in cities. They moved to states. They kept saying in meetings that they weren't going to have it be federal, but a plan all along was to loop all of the state vaccine tracking registries into a national vaccine tracking registry. And certainly right now with COVID vaccine, when you go and you get tested or you get vaccinated, it is dumped into a big registry. And, you know, we are moving toward a surveillance state. We're moving toward, and it's not just our country, it's global.
Yes.
Again, I think what's different about what's happened here in the last 20 months is that this has been a global move, not a move by one country, like what happened in Germany. Actually, they used the IBM cards, I remember, to try to follow everybody in the society. It's not just about one country. This is an agreement. Clearly, it has been an agreement between governments in Western Europe and in the U.S. and New Zealand and Australia. And as you mentioned, Australia is basically a police state now.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
You have soldiers in the streets, you have helicopters monitoring, telling people, you know, that they're going to, if they don't comply with whatever the order is, they're going to be hunted down. It's quite shocking. But we need to be sensitive to the fact that if we don't stop this move toward authoritarianism in our country, that is being the vaccine issue, which I've always said is the tip of the spear in the culture wars that have been going on during the 21st century, certainly, but actually started before the 21st century. If we aren't careful, we are going to find ourselves in a very, very living in a very oppressive society, because they'll move beyond mandatory vaccination. That's just the foot in the door. And the tracking systems will help them do it. And there are electronic tracking systems that are tracking every move we make.
I also read here of Dr. Ryan Cole, a board-certified pathologist. He runs a diagnostics lab trained at Mayo Clinic. It's the largest independent testing lab in Idaho. And earlier this year, Barbara, he reported seeing a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers, over which he sees on an annual basis. He's warning of a huge surge in various autoimmune diseases and cancers in patients who have taken the shot.
Yeah, I think that also there are others who are warning about this. I know that the inventor of the mRNA technology, Dr. Malone, has been very bravely speaking out and warning that this is this mass vaccination campaign, that these mRNA vaccines is not a good idea, that there aren't going to be long-term repercussions. Again, this is a man-made virus, most likely. I mean, that's what the information is pointing toward.
Mm-hmm.
And as a virus that was created,
gain of function,
we don't know what it's going to do to the human population. And the spike protein that's used in the vaccine, we don't know how that's going to act long-term to compromise our health, which is why there are scientists, brave scientists, who are saying there has to be much more information and study before we just insist that every single person in the world get this vaccine.
I'd like to hit one other issue here with you, Barbara, and that is the exemption matter, the religious exemption. And there is an all-out attack, and I thank the Lord for people like Matt Staver at Liberty Council and others that are helping and challenging these institutions that have said no religious exemptions, and they're winning battles in that regard, but there's so many more out there. But now that there's, in essence, an all-out war on these religious vaccine exemptions, one network expert talked about, faith can kill individuals, and we really need to examine this faith that people are saying that they have, that they are exempting from the vaccine, that those religious exemptions are going to kill us. There's an all-out attack on them right now.
Well, there's an all-out attack on religious belief in our society. Again, part of the culture war. There is a move toward making our society, which was founded by men and women who believed in God and certainly wrote that into the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the word God appears. There is a move towards secularization of our society and a demonization and a of religious belief. But religious belief is not dependent upon an organized religion. In fact, that's prohibited under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We have the right in our country to hold personal religious and spiritual beliefs that are not part of an organized religion. The way this argument is being framed is that, if you belong to a Protestant or Catholic church, or if you're Jewish and go to a temple, that somehow the hierarchy of these churches determines whether or not you have the right to have a sincere religious or spiritual belief about vaccination.
I'm going to have you pause right there for a moment, because that's exactly what just happened with the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, Pastor Robert Jeffress, 12,000-member congregation, and he said, quote, "There is no credible religious argument against COVID-19 vaccines as an increasing number of Americans seek religious exemptions." But he said, no credible religious argument.
Well, you know, if you're a person who has had a reaction to a vaccine, a severe reaction, or you have a child who's been damaged by vaccines, you have the right to get down on your knees and pray for guidance to God as to what you should do. And nobody should interfere with your right to follow your conscience and your religious belief and the guidance you've been given by God. That certainly is a tenet of Martin Luther, the right to follow your conscience. Mm-hmm. There's also language in Catholic canon about the duty of all to follow the certain judgment of conscience. In fact, if you do disobey that, it is considered very serious. You should not ever disobey the certain judgment of your conscience. NBIC has always argued for flexible medical, religious, and conscience belief exemptions. We believe that doctors should have the latitude in their professional judgment. They believe someone is at risk for having a reaction. That doctor should be able to give a medical exemption that is not questioned by the state or by people who have a certain belief system. By the same token, we should be able to follow our conscience and follow our spiritual beliefs or religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we do not have to belong to an organized religion to do that in the U.S.
Barbara Fisher, our guest here today, our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Want to have time for a few of your questions here today, 800-733-9829. Barbara's website, nvic.org. That's nvic.org. Barbara, I know you have lots of discussions going on. Any idea where we're headed as a nation on this issue? I mean, we have seen, we've entered uncharted waters. We've not gone this way before. The authoritarian state that we're seeing right now, is there more to come?
Well, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think that we are at a crossroads. We are at a critical moment in our history. We are either going to stand up and fight for liberty and fight for the right to autonomy and the right to express ourselves, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly. That certainly has been challenged in the last 20 months.
Mm-hmm.
We either stand up for these fundamental civil liberties or we'll live as slaves.
Wow.
Our choice.
Let's quickly call in before the break. Brad in West Dallas here on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I just want to bring up that general, I think he was, that medical idiot in the military that said arbitrarily that the Comirnaty FDA okayed stab mm-hmm. is the same as the one they're using in the military so that everybody has to get it. That's just arbitrary, and it's not science. It's not rational. And these are not the actions of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, or for our military. These cheap politicians know what they're doing, and it amounts to treason. And I'm telling everybody right now, the elites, politicians, refugees, illegal aliens, and Muslim terrorists are not taking the shot.
Brad, I've got to take a break here. Thank you for the call. Barbara Lowe Fisher, our guest today. Again, her website, nvic.org. We'll be back with more calls after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Very few Americans are aware of the fact that the Biden administration has just pulled Patriot missiles out of Saudi Arabia. I've seen the before and after pictures. The missiles are gone. Why is this important? Because when Nixon closed the gold window in 1971, why'd they close the gold window, first off? So they could print all the money they wanted. They were already printing money. But after they closed the gold window, it went nuts. And they were able to expand the size of government and redistribute the wealth. So our American dollar was backed by nothing. He goes to Saudi Arabia and he says, look, trade on the world market with oil for the U.S. dollar, and we will protect you. We will protect you if you're invaded. And so that is how the petrodollar was born. If we get rid of the U.S. petrodollar as world reserve currency and those dollars come flooding back to our shores, You ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to inflation is what you'll see. Now Russia's moving in to protect Saudi Arabia. They hate the American dollar, and they hate America. Keep your eyes open.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, Barbara Lowe Fisher, our guest today, NVIC.org, the website, and NVICAdvocacy.org. Let's go to Debbie in West Bend, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is how do we stop this? Everybody talks about us standing up and fighting, pushing back, but how do we do that? Writing letters to our congressmen, we just get generic replies. And that's as far as it goes.
Great. Thank
Everybody
you.
Talks about standing up, fight.
Okay. How do we do that, Barbara?
The National Vaccine Information Center is recommending personal contact, not letters, but actually making appointments with your local, and I mean your local as well as state representatives, your sheriff, your police departments. I'm recommending people also talk to anyone they know in the military, the U.S. military, to remind them of the importance of defending human rights. So if they are ever asked to participate in authoritarian rule, they will not do it. It's about following your conscience. It's about meeting with people in your neighborhood and finding community of like-minded people, because we are so separated from each other. It's part of the reason we've gotten ourselves into this situation. People are on their cell phones and on their computers, but they're not talking to each other. This dehumanization of people who do not go along with the program, this scapegoating of people for the failures of government, I mean the unvaccinated people, people who are defending informed consent, has got to stop. The only way it can stop is for people to start talking to each other and developing relationships and not being so separate from each other, because it's easy to dehumanize people when you don't know who they are.
And this is, I mean, you've seen citizens groups getting up before city council meetings and school boards and effective policy in that regard. Thanks, Debbie. Heather is calling from Spring Hill, Kansas. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just a comment. Everything that you're saying, you know is happening, but I experienced it firsthand. I got COVID, had an emergency room visit, and the doctor there berated me for being unvaccinated, wanted to know why I hadn't taken it. And I said, I'm just waiting. They're having people who have been injured or deaths, to which he went on to deny, to say that's not true. I said, well, what do you say about the Bears report? Again, telling me that's not true. So I knew the truth, but it's really hard to imagine experiencing that, you know, firsthand. And I'm afraid with the vaccine mandate, this is what we will now have, you know, in healthcare is just, you know, government workers. So I'm going through a patient advocate now just to air grievances, and just I don't want this happening to anybody else. So I'm just, you know, sharing information that I've learned with others. So thanks for getting information out.
Thank you. Yeah, the VAERS report's just not true, Barbara.
You know, there's a great denial of those who administer vaccines, those who have been taught in school that there's no vaccine reactions. This is most people who give vaccines cannot accept emotionally or psychologically that something they're doing to help people stay well is actually hurting them. It's a human nature, but, you know, it has to stop, because these are pharmaceutical products that carry a risk of injury or death that can be greater for some people for genetic, epigenetic, and environmental reasons. And to just deny the existence of these people who do suffer and do are harmed by vaccination is doing a great disservice to our society. We need to be putting the emphasis on trying to help people get through infections with good drugs and good supplements and a more holistic approach, in my opinion. And we need to stop denying that these pharmaceutical products do not carry risks.
Let's go to Eric in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're on the air, Eric.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Barbara. Great show today. I'm in the exact same boat that you're talking about here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, working for the Chattanooga Symphony. And I really just called to make a quick announcement pertaining to an event we're going to have tonight. Would you mind if I read that on there?
If it's quickly, sure. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. Sure. Anyway, so for all your listeners in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, there will be a peaceful rally tonight in support of Chattanooga Symphony Orchestra musicians who have been locked out of work for refusal to be coerced into taking mandatory vaccinations, masking, or medically invasive tests. We would appreciate a strong show of support from the community. It will be from about 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern Time at the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Auditorium. It is located at 399 Macaulay Avenue in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Please help us turn the tide now so you won't be next.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Thank you, Barbara.
Eric.
I'll continue listening.
Thank you. And Barbara, there's somebody standing up.
Congratulations for doing that, and God bless you, and I hope it's a successful event. We have to engage in peaceful and constructive protest about these policies. We can take our country back, but it means every single one of us in our own communities have got to take action and not expect somebody else to do it for us.
Let's go to Gary in Joplin, Missouri. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I think that we should all fill out a form saying that anybody that requires us to get the shot, like an employer or something, that they're held 100% responsible for any reaction that we have to that shot. If they're going to mandate that we take it, then they should have to, you know, pay the cost of whatever reaction we have to it. And it's so funny, is it just me, but this Democrat Party that's in the White House, there's so much about a woman's choice for abortion, but yet they're against a citizen's choice for their body.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. What about this holding employers accountable, Barbara?
You know, there's a Texas legislator who had public hearings on the vaccine passport proposal in Texas, which was defeated, and he said the same thing. He said these companies should be held liable for any injuries or deaths that occur. Right now, the Congress in the spring of 2020 passed legislation or an amendment to a law called the PREP Act that completely leaves these companies off the hook for any injuries or deaths. And I would say that it should be added failures. There's a risk of reaction, and there's a risk of this vaccine not working. And they should be held accountable for that.
And Terry in Jamestown, Kentucky, we have 30 seconds. Go ahead. You're on the air.
20-year-old granddaughter who was perfectly healthy up until she had the two-dose injections. About 4 months after the injections, she had to go to the hospital and have a pacemaker / defibrillator installed.
Barbara, we have 15 seconds. Your response.
Oh, you know, I hear these stories all the time, and it breaks my heart, especially for the young people who have the heart inflammation complications, neurological complications. This is something that they're not going to be able to completely sweep under the rug. Everybody needs to stay strong, stay faithful, and we'll see this through. We have to.
Terry, I wish you had more time to hear this story, but we are completely out of time. Please call back again on another occasion. Folks, many people hurting. Check out NVIC.org. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.